The Glorious Church is a reflection of God's beauty, character, and nature. The Glorious Church is God's workmanship, created for good works, light for a dark world, and salt for the earth. The Glorious Church must be pure and impactful, for it is the only institution mandated to bring life and hope to the nations. Plug in to the annual theme of the Church of Pentecost for 2020. A glorious church to possess the nations. Come, let us drink deep from the word through which we are being cleansed and washed to become a radiant church. Welcome to Pentecost Hour, God's timely word for our dying world.
I want to bless the name of the Lord this morning for the space that he has granted all of us to worship him. We're not able to meet the masses as we are used to. But we are the reason for Easter. Sinners saved by grace. When God looks down on earth and he sees us, it doesn't matter whether we are on convention grounds or in our homes, he celebrates us. We are the real testimony of what Jesus did on the cross. And so I want to encourage you that any space that you have, you also give him thanks and celebrate him anyway, anyhow. So wherever you are, I want you to pay attention and then let your spirit follow us. Speaking on the topic, living a victorious Christian life. Living a victorious Christian life.
Christo abrabo ewonkunim.
The fact that Jesus died,
Yesu niwa owu ye no,
should be stressed in the presentation of the gospel.
Ese se yesi sudria ewo asempanikim.
It should be stressed in our teaching and preaching.
Wo yen chirechire ene asem kan na ese yesi sudria.
It should be emphasized to our children for them to understand and internalize this
truth.
All should be persuaded beyond all every reasonable doubt that Jesus died. I want to start from John chapter
19.
I read from verse 28. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture will be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine, vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it. Put the sponge on a stalk.
Now,
of a hyssop plant.
Now what is upon no etia some
lifted it to Jesus.
Now Pija Emma Yesu.
When he had received the drink,
Bra Ojeno,
Jesus said,
Yesu ka say,
it is finished.
Where we
with that
now Okansa,
he bowed his head
or born it
and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation.
Na eye ahosiesie eda.
And the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have their legs broken and their bodies taken down. See, the Romans typically left decaying bodies on the cross.
Roman for adi yemu no na wotaija emu a epro ewo asenduaso.
Long after death, However, on a certain ceremonial occasions, they could take the bodies.
Now, so upon that be waho no mu a, otumuyi sa emu no.
They do that. They bring the bodies down early, and the breaking of the legs would facilitate the death of the person who is crucified.
It is woyi emu no etuwa. We bubu emu no enem na amani pana ori wunu wotumie wuntem.
So that they can take the body.
Said the bear wode emu no beko.
But let's look at Jesus' case, what really happened.
Now so mommy and share yesu the no de see ye.
See when they break your leg.
Se wobu unemwa.
Your hands are like that.
One sa emwa trese.
And then your legs are resting on something, on a wound.
Na wonan so esi duyebisu.
And so you are able to kind of breathe.
And see, I know ma ukwai ma wutu me home kakra.
But when they break your legs,
na se wobu unemwa,
the arm strength will not be able to hold you.
One sa nun kwa huo din to min crown.
Then your heart will collapse.
Na fe wakuma ebete.
So that facilitates death.
Na eno ebwa ma
uwo bantem. So because they wanted to remove the bodies.
Enti na wopese wo yi nipa no edua ni free dia.
They went to ask Pilate, let us go and break their legs so that we can take these people.
Wo call Pilate check obisa I say my kwani enko bubu won na mu said
the
boy we bewu ni yi won.
The soldiers therefore came.
Enti asrafo no ebai.
And broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus and then those of the other.
Na wobu onipa na odi kan bo na sendue mu no wobu ni nemu e na fe de oka ho no so wobu na ne ne.
But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs.
Na bra wo ba Yesu nche no wo hunu se wewu dada enti wembu ni nemu.
Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear.
Imom asrafo no ba ko e de Pia ewo Yesu mfim,
bringing a sudden flow of blood and water.
Na moja eni nsuo epuefri ni mfim.
Now what is this?
We echre say.
Why should he pierce his side?
De enti na ese obo ni mfim.
I'm not going to the spiritual interpretations of that.
Me nko sunsun fe mu mu chechre.
But you see, when they got to Jesus' tent,
Abra wodru Yesu nchen no.
They realized that he was dead already.
Wo hu se we wu dada.
Now, but to prove that he was actually dead.
Now said the betchere say we wu ankasa no.
They decided that let us just punch the side with the spear and let's see what will happen.
Well, yeah, one again said, and yeah, one in film near head ye besi.
They wanted to be double sure that he was dead.
Now what per se wo hu no wo jitu mu say ampa Yesu we wu.
The flow of blood and water
moja any insuya etue free
indicates that Jesus truly died. As a full human being,
na owu ise onipa mapa,
with a genuine human body,
onipa na owo nipa nipedie.
So Jesus died.
Enti Yesu owu.
Jesus died.
Yesu owu.
We should have this in our spirit that Jesus died.
As I say, Jesus de we tum ewo yehunhun mu se Yesu owu.
Our theme is that he died that we might live, that I might live.
In shemu ibutai ni se owu ise de be ya me nyankwa.
But what kind of life?
Na enkwa be ne yeka ho asemi.
We need to live a victorious Christian life.
As I say, ye bo Christo sumu abrabo ewo nkuni mu.
He didn't just die that we might just live any kind of life.
When wu se de be ya ye bebo abrabo bia ye pe.
That is why I'm talking about the victorious Christian life.
Enu ti na make us suffer. See,
the death of Jesus was not accidental.
It
was not some wicked man who killed him.
He
gave himself up to be
killed. Because
he came into this world to suffer and to die.
If he said, that
I might live.
That
you might live.
He
gave himself voluntary to be
killed.
See, this is what Peter said.
Where he and a Petro kind
on the day of Pentecost, when they were accusing them of being drunk, Peter overheard them and he said, "My friends, we are not drunk. Listen to me."
Well, Pentecost dano, brana woke kase ya mankrofi wabo wabo no. Petro eti eno kachira wanse ye moye na munti mi.
Now, Acts chapter 2.
Asmafo nyumane iti mienu.
I'll read 22 to 24. Fellow Israelites,
Israel Merima,
listening to this,
Muntiewe,
Jesus of Nazareth,
Yeshua ofi Nazareth,
was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs.
Onyango pon na mama wabdiye so esini sudiya edimamo,
which God did among you through him,
as you
yourselves
know.
This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. Now, did you hear that?
What in the year?
Did you hear that?
What in the year?
Let me take it again.
Ma,
this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. So Jesus' death, according to scripture, or according to Peter, the chief apostle,
said
there was an underlying factor. The divine rock gave him up. If the rock had not given him up, there was no way he could be crucified. The Bible says, how can one chase a thousand of Israelites unless the rock has given them up? So Jesus could not have been killed unless the rock gave him up. Then the nipa bakun eti unip
Israel ma empem ajese obutai no yinu ma eti Yesu se obutai no amfana ma wonga nka wontumi nkumno.
Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Jesus was born. Now, let's go to Isaiah 53. And then read his prophecy. Isaiah 53 from verse
9.
I'll read 9, 10, and 11. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nothing wrong, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Now listen to this big one. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, God made Jesus' life an offering for sin. He, Jesus, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, now, and he will bear their iniquities.
Now, amen. Na onam nim die so na kwa oyɛ otrini ni no ebunipa bebre bem na fe wasoa won bone.
It pleased the Lord
na eso onyame ni
to crush him.
Se obedwere no.
Why was his death necessary?
Itini wo na owu ye no kura de ntina na ehia.
Why was it expedient for God to subject his only son to such gruesome death.
In fast what Ben and was to say, as a so Yanko Poma, ne dobe, ehua manino, obu, obuya, ya say.
This question lends itself to many answers depending on where you are standing. But I will stay in Hebrews chapter
9.
So I want to answer this question from Hebrews chapter
9.
So you can add that to the various reasons that you have.
Now, obey to me the way I can teach you.
Hebrews chapter 9 speaks of the Old Testament and Old Covenant.
Now, Hebrew for man it include a kasafa apam dadano.
Why the sacrifices of the Old Covenant was so ineffectual?
Now, ochre dientia apam dadani mu afarebono endimu.
It couldn't cleanse the conscience and the sins of the people.
And to me, until onipa ahunimu anyone born into.
Now, as a result, it was repetitive. It washes the outside, but it couldn't save the people from sinning. Hebrews 9 from verse 11. That verse starts with but. When Jesus came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle. This that is not made with human hands. That is to say, it's not part of this creation.
And he said,
he did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves. But he entered the most holy place. Once for all, by his own blood. And now listen to this. Thus, obtaining eternal redemption. He went there to obtain eternal redemption. So hold on to that one. Now verse 13 says this. The blood of goats and bulls and ashes of heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctified them so that they are outwardly clean.
Now say, imrechie ene anentwi nini moja ene anentwi bere enso a wodi dwura won a wo ho agufi ete wo ho kọ honam ahofre mu a.
How much more?
Empre ahe.
How much more?
Empre ahe.
Then with the blood of Christ.
Arana Christo.
Who through the eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from at that least. So that we may serve the living God. His blood was going to redeem them so that they can break free from sin and then now they can serve the living God. But I want you to pay attention to verse 15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. Not of the new covenant, of a new covenant. What that means is that the old one, by the shedding of his blood, he has rendered that obsolete.
And see, the upper chain is here.
That those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Hallelujah.
Now
listen to that again. That those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died.
Bra, we.
Now that he has died. If he wasn't dead, you can't receive any inheritance.
Bra we wi. Esan say when wa won't to me nya ejapade.
As a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant which he has rendered useless.
We would say ajedia
now you may lift your head and look at me. So according to the reading, we have established that by his death, he has purchased for us eternal redemption. It is in this eternal redemption that we have eternal life.
Na ewo sada ojie yimu ene ewo da enkwa.
Then he is saying that secondly,
ena oka to asu biom de tosu mienu.
With the blood he has sealed the new covenant with his blood.
Na odini moja aye insuano aso apam fufro no.
Because the old one was also sealed with blood. So Esa, with that blood, you cannot have this kind of covenant. So by his blood, secondly, he has sealed the new covenant
with his blood.
That is what the scripture says. He is the mediator of the new covenant. The old covenant was goats and cows and bulls. But now the mediator is Jesus. And he qualifies to be the mediator because he has sealed the new covenant with his blood.
So
we are talking about covenants. The writer of the book of Hebrews was discussing old covenant, new covenant. Then verse 16, he suddenly moved away from covenant and then he used a certain term.
Now, the author Hebrew for woman, now or kasafa apam ho, apam dada, apam fofro. Now, so, onya drew into chemu dunsia, na fe we fra se se all can be before fro, e hon asem.
Now, let's read verse 16 and 17.
Mama yankin kan chichemu dunsia, any dunson.
In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it. Because a will is enforced only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. Do you understand what he's trying to say? He's talking about covenants. Then he says that in case of a will, or if what he did were also a will, or what he's saying is that his act has two sides. The blood seals the new covenant. And the blood wills something to us who have believed. That is why he says in verse 15 that to receive the promise eternal and the word there is inheritance. And he's saying that in the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it. The testator should die. Because a will is enforced only when somebody has died.
If he said,
it never takes effect. So you can make the will, but it will not take effect whilst the one who made it is living.
Eti ube tumaye ashe nsamasye. Nansu eri nye juma bre dudua unipa oshe nsamasye no etiasye.
We'll come back to this one.
Yebesa yaba sasi miso.
So let me just illustrate this point with two examples. The first one is about Elijah. Now, when Elisha saw that Elijah was about to be taken up to heaven, he desired to inherit something from him. So he walked closely with him. When Elijah saw that Elisha was not going to go back, and he saw that his time was also near to be caught up, he asked him, "My friend, what at all do you want me to do for you?"
Now, Ebra Eliahu said, "Nebra aka etia." Na Elisa awiata so say, "Onu so onsan nechi no." Obisa say, "Madam fo, e dem kra na wope na menyema."
"Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied.
And Elia say, "Mam me
you have asked a difficult thing." What
beside the thing
Elijah said,
"Elia Ekan,
yet
Nanso,
if you see me when I'm taken away from you,
set
it will be yours.
Ebeya wodia.
Otherwise,
Anyesa,
it will not.
Enye.
Because if you want to inherit something from me,
if he say, se wuji ejapadie bi efri minchen,
unless I'm no more,
I just miniho.
As long as I'm alive,
na me woho
idie. You cannot have a double portion, not even a quarter portion.
Utu minya."
But when you see me go, in the case of a will, when the testator is no longer around, then you can have the inheritance. Elisha didn't say anything.
Elisa,
he said, "I've come too far to close my eyes." So when the chariots and the angels and the fires and the horsemen came for Elijah,
and Tibra, abofo, any ojati asianam, any ojane eba se yebefa Eli akono.
The smartest thing he did was to describe the horses, the chariot, trying to tell Elijah that I have seen everything.
Adia yepa Elisa ye ni se ofra se se okan ojati asianam no na o chere bibia ekoso e de chere se mehu bibia.
And before the mantle fell down, he had removed his already.
Enti ansana ngugusu no kra begu form no na weyi na taade dadada.
Other people were watching, and the other small prophets were watching, and then with the cloak, when he got to Jordan, he parted it into two just as his master did.
Nana edi fon keten ketenu ensu jina ho awohwe na Elisa fa ngugusu onu na okodru Jordan no no ode ngugusu onu epai Jordan mu sede ni wura ne ye no pepepe.
So this company of prophets who were watching from the Jericho point, they just came rushing to him and they bowed down to him, saying, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha."
And it edi fo a na awohwe ewe chiri ho no ebra wo hu se Elisa fa Jordan mu epue no wotum rika na wo bekoto na wo de woni butubutu from kan se Elia honhom aba Elisa so.
Now the second illustration,
there in fact who me tosu me nu am pese me da.
I want to take it from the New Testament.
Me pese me fefri apam foforo nu
Luke chapter 15.
In sempan se de Luke etro no itidu
nu. The story of the prodigal son
oba kohino no eho asem
shows God's forbearance in saving the humankind. The act of the prodigal son was unthinkable and of gross impunity. To ask and collect your supposed inheritance when your father was still alive.
Was
unthinkable. Because the inheritance, it is your father's. It doesn't become yours unless your dad dies. But he forced the dad.
And so, or share nature,
and then he gave him his part of the estate.
And so
he went out, led a righteous life.
Now
squandered everything. And then he decided to come back. But the father had all the patience to go and then even meet him before he got home. Now welcome him back through a party for him. The older son was not at home. When he heard the noise, the jubilation, he asks one of the servants, "What is going on in the house?" "Oh, it's your brother. He's back. And your dad is celebrating
him."
The older son got angry. But when the father heard that this older son was angry and he will not come in, this loving, tolerating father went outside and convinced this big boy to come in. Let's read what he told him. Luke chapter 15,
Luke
31,
32.
I want you to pay attention to this. My son.
Meba.
The word son is not a name.
It's not
a description.
And
it's not like saying a king or a queen. No, he said my son.
And
the word son is a position. It is a position. Then he goes on to say, my son, you are always with me. And everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad. Because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now the man says, we had to. But for the one who never disobey the father and his heart to him, say, everything I have.
Na the one yas wording na otifie hono. Papa ne catch and say, Adibia mi wobia.
It's yours.
Eya wodia.
Sometimes we concentrate so much on the prodigal and then we don't think about the big one.
Eto de bia, ye di yadwini na ekosi oba de self on so. Na ye mfa yadwini enko opapini no so.
But you see, he was complaining that you have never killed even a goat for me, but the goats are still the father's. Now, even though everything is his, until the father died, the goat is for the father. So if you want your father to kill you a goat,
ask.
See, the father says, all that I have is yours. But it is potentially his. But the man is not dead.
Then
let's go back to Hebrews chapter 9. Now with this one or two illustrations, let's go and concentrate on Hebrews 9:15 again. Now, you may want to read together with me. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. That those who are called may receive. Now, you see that the word there is the promised eternal inheritance.
Kasa waka honi se, da
and he says, now that he has died, Jesus died.
Yes,
and now that he has died,
na bra we
those of us who have been called, we have access to the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died.
Bra we.
So his death was to
seal the new covenant. Redeem us and to give us inheritance. And now that he has died, we can access the inheritance. If you are talking about God, Jesus, if you have to inherit God, what are you going to inherit?
Yeah,
I like that, man. So could you hear me there? Right, why are the papa? Like, want me by the country? But so could you hear me there? It's better than if you inherit someone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you see that Hebrews 9:15 is saying that.
Hebrew 4 man it's in crunch chemu dunum no
e kase. The promised eternal inheritance.
Da boshe ejapade no.
The word there is telling us that it's a definite thing that we should know.
Kasefua no. O pese o chere se eye ade a e se ye hu.
Then he says promised.
Ena o chere se eye boshe.
So we have to look at, you see, the subject is Jesus. So we have to look at what Jesus actually promised.
And he says
that thing is eternal.
So
it's not about human beings, but it's about things that are eternal. It's not about cars, but things that are eternal.
And yet, ni pasep enenye a free car.
And he says that eternal inheritance. Now, may I suggest to you, humbly, if you maybe agree with
me,
that one thing that Jesus actually promised the disciples was the Holy Spirit. I read a couple of them to you.
Making kind.
I read that of Luke, what Luke said in St. Luke and what he said in Acts.
Yebehwe de Luca ekan ewo Luke and Sempanum. Any de Luca kan ewo asomafo nwumanu.
Now Luke chapter 24.
Luke and Sempano, since Sempan said the Luca tro initie du nu 9
verse 49.
Nti chemu edu anan enkon.
Luke 24:49.
Luke and Sempano, 80:9.
I am going to send you what my father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now hold it that in John chapter 14 and 16, he told them that when he goes, he will ask the Father, and the Father will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So in John 14, John 16, he actually promised the Comforter.
Mom man kai said, well, Johannes and Paniti do nine, it do see him. Now, waka say, or call a jan in Chaya, or best a janona, or the or rechiche for no abba. And to all Johannes and Pano, not or the or rechiche for no ashayambo.
Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 4.
Asumafun yumano, eti bakun chemunai.
To
8.
On one occasion, while he was still eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave
Jerusalem,
but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. You know, Jesus never spoke anything unless he heard what the Father said. So when the Father promised, he also promised. For John baptized him with water. But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let's jump to verse
8.
But you will receive power.
When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he has promised them the Holy Spirit. It is a promise. And the Holy Spirit is eternal. The problem is the Holy Spirit is not a property.
How are you? What they say? Oh, Mkronkono, onye ejapadie bia
yuhu. The Holy Spirit is not a prophet.
Oh, Mkronkono, onye ejapadie bisa.
Let's listen to Peter.
Moma yentie osma fu Petru.
On the day of Pentecost.
Ewo Pentecost danu.
In us.
Ewo osma fu nyuma.
Chapter 2, verse 32 and 33.
Eti mienu, chiche mu, eduasa mienu, ne eduasa miensa.
God has raised this Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. The promised Holy Spirit. And has poured out what you now see and hear. He went further to say that this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for whom the Lord our God will call. But you see, we are seeing that he is the eternal promise spirit.
Not you, ye kase ono ene.
But Hebrews is saying that the promised eternal inheritance. And I'm saying that you can't say that the Holy Ghost is a prophet. So why are we talking about the Holy Spirit? Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13 and 14. I want you to pay close attention to this particular
thing.
And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message. The message of truth. The gospel of your salvation. When you believed. When you believed. When you believed. You were marked. In him. With a seal. Look at the promise again. The promise Holy Spirit. And then verse 14 settles our challenge. Who is a deposit? Guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Now,
so this Holy Spirit, the promised eternal spirit that we have received, is a seal that we are children of God. That we have been adopted as children of God. We have come to that qualified position as sons and daughters. And he is our guarantor, which will cause us to receive the promised inheritance. This is Paul.
Where Osman for Paul?
In 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now, see, nothing is established according to Deuteronomy unless it is out of two or three witnesses. Then Corinthians is saying that now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. With what?
set his seal of ownership on us. Ephesians is saying that until those who are God's possession, and he's saying that by the seal of the Holy Spirit on us, we are not only just going to be guaranteed the inheritance, but that makes us God's possession. He sets his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hands as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Ephesians says that guaranteeing the inheritance. And Corinthians here is saying that which is to come. What then is coming? The eternal inheritance. The promised eternal inheritance. What then is this true inheritance? What is in store for us? I want you to lift your head and look at me. You see, our big brother, Jesus Christ, is the firstborn of those who have resurrected. When he conquered death as our big brother. See, let's find out whether God did something for him. So whatever he did for him, then we are also sure that he's going to do the same for us. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. That's right. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets as many times and in various ways. But look at verse 2. But in these last days, He, God, has spoken to us by his Son, that is Jesus Christ, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Now listen, Christ Jesus, when he appeared before the Father, where we are also going, God gave him inheritance. And the Bible says he gave him, he appointed him heir of all things. You see, I'm happy that the Bible says that we are joined heirs with Christ. And if Jesus is the heir of God and he has given him all things, what about us? We are also seated together with him, and the property is that we are going to inherit is all things.
And he said, "Wapao Yesu, se oya adi na so odidifo. Na se yeni Yesu bom edi adi adi a. Eni adi pia wadiama Yesu no Yesu eye adi a. Inti eja padia ni se eye adi na."
Yeah. So the eternal Holy Spirit is a seal guaranteeing that one day, when we have been completely redeemed, we together with Christ will take charge of all things.
And see, Bosha, or this share your home crown crono, a ye insuano, ah, a ye jaha, a de chresse, se ye ni yesu boom, edia de dia, and a debbie baba, waji and crano, ye ni yesu bebum, edia dina, aso.
In 1 Corinthians 3,
well, Corinto for medica,
when Paul was ending his address there,
Ebra, or swan for Paul, edini casa,
verse 21, 22, 23
says,
so then, no more boasting about human leaders,
nipa afim,
Can you read together? All things are yours.
Adina yamodia.
All things are yours.
Adina yamodia.
So he's hinting here that, my friends, potentially everything is yours. All things are yours.
Adina yamodia.
Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas.
Se Paulo, se Apollo, se Cephas.
Or the world of or life or death.
Or anase we are see ana enkwa ana owu.
Or the present or the future.
Anase de wo ho se se ana
de ebe ba. All are yours.
Adina ya modia.
And you are of Christ.
Na mo ewo Christo.
And Christ is of God.
Na Christo efri onyami.
All things are yours.
Adina ya modia.
If God did not spare his only son.
Se onyami anka anfa ne ba kro na anka
me. And gave him to us.
Na se odene man.
How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? All things are ours. But you see,
Nansuti,
please look at me, everybody. Just lift up your hand.
Baby, I will be assigned.
So we have received the eternal redemption, which is the eternal life. And then we have received the eternal Holy Spirit, making us potential rulers of all things. So what is available actually for us is the eternal life and then the eternal Holy Spirit. But you see, Jesus is the eternal life. That is why scripture says that in him is life. When we believed him, that kind of life came into us. So Jesus was the eternal life. And he was anointed with the eternal Holy Spirit. These two was enough for him to conquer the world. We also have been resurrected with the eternal life. And he has given us the eternal Holy Spirit. This one should be enough for us to possess nations. We don't need anything else. Nothing else. It should be enough. But see, to be able to live a victorious Christian life. Paul says that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. Where he said we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, he continued and said that, but if we suffer with him.
We will reign with him. Now
listen. For us to lead a victorious Christian life. And be able to go through suffering. And finally inherit all things. Paul said that let this mind that was in Christ be also in you. It is a matter of the mindset. For the sake of the cross. He emptied himself. And because of the joy that was set ahead of him. He endured the cross. And the Bible said God also has highly exalted him. Let this mind that was in Christ be also in you. You see, Oswald Chambers has said this.
Papa be a friend of Oswald Chambers, Akasembi.
The true characteristics of a spiritual person is the ability to understand correctly the meaning of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. And the ability to explain the purpose of God to others. The overruling passion of his life is Jesus Christ. That kind of person. He says that he should be able to understand the meaning of Jesus Christ in his life. To be able to explain it to others. And the overruling passion of that kind of life is Jesus Christ. Nothing else, nothing more. Jesus Christ. The overriding passion of his life. The Apostle Paul said, I pray that your eyes of understanding will be enlightened. That you will know the hope of your calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in you, the incomparably great power that is available for us who believe. Why is he saying that? I'm praying that he will know. Because many Christians just sing about their resurrection. They don't know the meaning of Jesus in their
lives.
This morning, I'm calling you to have a certain kind of mentality. A certain kind of mentality. A certain kind of mentality. The mind of Christ.
Yes, Christ.
With the mind of Christ and the eternal life and the eternal spirit, we can conquer our world. You see, but the opposition that the Christian has is in himself. As for the devil, we know that he's going to fight us, but what prevents us from being conquerors is not the devil. He's no match for us. What is preventing us from living a victorious Christian life is in ourselves. Because we just do not want to suffer. Within us is the spirit and the flesh warring. The Apostle Paul said that, no. I have to do something about this
situation
so that I can live a victorious Christian life. He decided that he was going to sign the death certificate of a sinful nature. I'm inviting you this morning to sign the death certificate of your sinful nature. He says, I've been crucified with Christ.
Or say, I no
longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. I have nailed my sinful nature on the cross. I have deliberately signed its death certificate. It is no longer I who lives. My individuality remains. You still see me, Eric Nyamiche. But it is no longer I that live. Paul says that my individuality remains. But my primary motivation for living and the nature that rules me radically has changed. I have the same human body, but the old satanic right to myself has been crucified.
And so only pursue bonnie that I know what bonus.
It is no longer I that live. The life I now live in the flesh. Not the life I want to live. Not the life I pray to live. But the life I live now in the flesh that people see. That others can see. I live by faith.
Because
he's not living by flesh.
If he said,
because that flesh has been effectively nailed on the cross. People like that, their overruling passion is Christ. Now listen to him. And now, compared by the Spirit, I'm going to
Jerusalem,
not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prisons and hardships are facing me. However, I have crucified this flesh. So I consider my life worth nothing. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying about the good news. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The only person who can do this or to say this is the one who has crucified his sinful nature on the cross. When I came to you, I sought nothing but Christ and him crucified.
Christ,
not food, not money,
not
praises. Christ and him
crucified.
Christ, I want to know him and the fellowship of his suffering. I want to identify with him in his death, so that somehow I will be part of the resurrection. That kind of life,
sir Abrabon,
is what will give us a victorious Christian life.
And no, and a man Christo suma brabwa a yen kunim.
There was this man called George Muller.
Papa bi etna si ani a friend George Muller.
He has achieved so much for the kingdom of God.
Ye niema bi ema unyamia.
He had a lot of orphanages.
Na owo inwisi ani a jangwa efie.
Then at age 70,
inti odi infie beye duoson.
He had also produced a lot of Christian workers to the kingdom. He decided to retire at age 70 from the orphanages. But after retiring from the orphanages, he launched into an itinerant preaching ministry, which lasted for 17 years. So at 87, he was still on the road preaching. He visited 42 countries, traveled over 200,000 miles. 200,000 miles. He preached to over 3 million people. These were days where we didn't have airplanes and loudspeakers. Someone once asked him the secret of his service to God.
Now,
listen to what he said. There was a day when I utterly died, died to George Muller, his opinions, preferences, tastes, and will, died to the world, its approval, or censure, died to the approval, or blame of even my brethren or friends.
And since
then, I studied only to show myself approved to God.
See,
look at what is going on in the world. Some want to change the world system. But Christians are out on lunch. We are not back yet. Because we want to save our skin. We have the Holy Spirit. We have eternal life. But we see sin and we are so unconcerned. Because our mind and our thought of the Christian today is what he will eat and wear. There was a day that I died. Utterly died. Die to George Muller. His opinions, preferences, tastes, and will died even to people's approval. Or otherwise. There were these three Methodist preachers. They had gone out to the Fiji island to evangelize in the
19th century, 1837. Fiji Island.
Those times, the people were still cannibal. See, the captain that carried them on the ship, as you say, I tried to advise Calvert, who was the leader of the three.
Now,
listen to what he said. You will lose your life and the lives of those with you if you go among such savages. Can we read together Calvert replied? We died before we came here.
Papa ne ka kire won say ye wu ye kura ansa na ye ba.
Don't worry us.
Enti enha ye kura.
We died before we came here.
Ye wu ye ansa na ye ba.
But why are you here?
Enti de enti na mo wa ha.
They are holding their personality.
Wo kura wo nipa.
They still have the human body.
Wo wo nipa dua no.
But the whole self.
Nanso wo nipa su no
that will cause them to fear.
They be ma mo esuro no.
They killed it on the cross.
Wo ku no asedua no so.
We died before we came here. The apostle Paul said to prophet Agabus,
who
tied his hands and said, the owner of this belt, this is what is going to happen. He said, Agabus, this kind of thing, Jesus told me many years ago, I do not care whether life or death, because what? He has crucified this body.
Paul catched Agabus. Na Agabus de ne belt Paul beta cheche ni nsa aka said there all ne belt ni no sa na ye be no en na Paul ka cheche ja sa de na wo ka no na onyame ka chem Yesu ka chere me de daada enkwamu owu mu maye krado esan se na we kum ni ni pedia.
David Livingstone had to leave his profession as a doctor.
Papa bia your friend David Livingstone na oye doctor ni
and came to Africa.
Oja ni doctor juma no eba bi mem ewo emre bia etwe.
He suffered so much.
Obre pa.
He suffered on the hands of lions.
Ajata ehun ehun ano.
The wife died whilst he was still in Africa.
Ne yiri wu ibra no we bi mem.
He went through was rugby fever and dysentery.
Onya etri die yare ene eyebuto ina.
Someone once told him,
David Livingstone. David
Livingstone. You must have sacrificed a lot for the gospel. Let's listen to his reply.
Na munti David Livingstone.
Sacrifice?
For dear.
The only sacrifice is to live outside the will of God. Brothers, we see Jesus going to heaven with bleeding. With marks. We cannot be victorious if we want to go dressed like I've done. We need to change our world. You see,
COVID-19
is not the truest sign of the end time.
No,
the gospel must first be preached among the nations. Then the end will come. The truest sign is that the gospel must be preached. But God is looking for certain kind of men. Certain kind of women. Who will not love their life even unto death. Who will possess their spheres for the Lord. Live a victorious life. People who understand the meaning of Jesus Christ in their life. People who although everything is theirs, but for the sake of other human beings, they will empty themselves and endure the cross.
Men and women,
man and woman,
man and Mary, man,
whose overriding passion is Jesus Christ. Brothers, it is not enough to be celebrating the death and the resurrection of Christ. He died that we might live a victorious Christian life. And I want at this time to respectfully invite you to rededicate your life to Him. I challenge you to be available to serve Him. And I encourage you to sign the death certificate of your sinful nature. Unto the cross, let us go. And die with Him. Crucify our body on the cross. And then tell ourselves that with the eternal life and the promised eternal spirit, He has anointed us to change our
world.
Shall we rise wherever you are? And if you want to rededicate your life, you may be a pastor. You may be an apostle. You may be an elder. You may be a church member. He is not looking for titles. He is looking for certain men and certain women. Got my mind.
See my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't ever, because I won't see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't ever.
Let's pray that we'll crucify ourselves so that we'll take on the nature of Jesus.
Shall we pray?
Shall we pray?
Yadi yahon ebrao, yadi yani pedue ebrao. Say ya bo boy ni pedue asendia. Eurade boye, eurade boye. Emma ohlomi endi ensu eurade. Ya ya krado, ya ya krado, ya ya krado. Ya froba asendia nusu, ya froba asendia nusu. Say obe boy yeng asendia. Obe boy yeni Christo Yesu asendia. that we be crucified in the name of Jesus Christ. Today we surrender. We surrender today.
Yamisum Abra Bo, Ebayan Kunimudia, Eshe, Yesu D, and Yunyam, and to Bompai, Nafa, who shall Radensa, now Christosum, I am Kunimudia, Christosum, Sadia Yamiasem, Achray. Father, we continue to pray. Radio, you're doomed to four. Unamun Concora, who are Densuni and Ababa Betna, and Unamayan to me, Naya Christo Sum Abrabo, a young Kunimua, and Radi Yabeti and Nippesho, and Yena Swar, they are to me at Nasi, say a Jiddy for Mapa. Ah, yes, shout the end of Yam, a quine, any embring in them. Yet that was in a Jenka, our Concora, who are Dinia, but they are to me. Father God, we want to thank you for your grace. We want to thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given unto us, said that it will help us to become victorious Christians. We want to bless your name, that you continue to rule and reign in our lives. This is our prayer in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.